Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Do you have what it takes to live to be 100? Stick with us and find out. Well, welcome everybody to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is November 5th, and we have an article on medicine today. Longevity, is it in your genes? My name is Linda Ludwig, and I'll be your host today. And with me are...
Winnie.
And Howie.
So, Winnie and Howie, what do you do at Studio Classroom? Winnie, what do you do at Studio Classroom?
Hello, Linda. Hello, listeners. It's great to be here. I am one of the teachers for Advanced and sometimes Studio Classroom. But I'm very interested in this topic today because I like learning about longevity. Now, longevity is something that Asian culture maybe embraces. And so I think we're going to have an interesting topic today.
I think so, too. How about you, Howie?
Well, if everyone is familiar with me, I'm usually on Advanced Studio Classroom as a panelist, but I'm also part of the, I guess, IT team. I help manage the content on our websites.
Well, it's very nice to have both of you with us today. We have a very interesting topic about the discovering the keys to long life. That's what our deck is talking about. Scientists are actually in this process. So let's begin by reading the first column of our article on page 16 in your magazine.
Longevity. Is it in your genes? Scientists are in the process of discovering the keys to long life. They may not have discovered the fountain of youth, but scientists are beginning to unravel some of the mysteries of living past 100, specifically, that it's in your genes. The study, led by Paula Sebastiani and Dr. Thomas Pearls of Boston University and published online in the journal Science, analyzed the DNA of over 1,000 centenarians and found a set of small DNA variations called genetic markers that can be used to predict exceptional longevity with 77% accuracy. But the story's not a simple one. There's no single longevity gene. For most of the golden agers, long life appeared to result from the cumulative effect of many of the 150 markers, and different markers showed up in different people. The study shows that there are different paths to becoming a centenarian, said co-author Nadia Soloviev. People age in different ways.
So what do you guys think? Would you like to live to be 100?
I don't know. This is a tough question, Linda. The idea of living 100 years and seeing how the world can change in those 100 years, I mean, that's pretty interesting. But Howie and I were talking about this before. I think a lot of it would depend on our health. Now, if I was sick, I don't know if I would want to enjoy being really sick and feeling miserable all the time and living past 100 years.
Right. If I was confined in a bed or a wheelchair at the age of 100 years old, then I probably wouldn't want to be lived to 100 years old. But if I'm still relatively healthy and I'm active and I'm doing things, I'm having a productive life, I think, sure, why not? 100 years and beyond, it's fine with me.
I think the older we get, the younger 100 years looks.
And yourself, Linda, would you want to live up to 100 or even past 100?
No, I not really.
Oh, okay.
I agree with both of you. I think that if a person could live a productive life, and we have an example of somebody in our magazine that has done this, can have a productive life up to 100 and past 100, I think it's great. But let's take a look at our article today, okay? This is quite an interesting article. It talks about there are keys to long life, and I think we're going to be taking a look at some of the keys here. So it says that they may not have discovered the fountain of youth, but some scientists are beginning to unravel some of the mysteries of living past 100. So what have you heard about the fountain of youth? What is it, Winnie?
Well, that is one of our first specialized terms for today. And it's this idea or a legendary spring or some kind of water, flowing water that makes anyone who drinks it young again and they can live forever. And I remember in my classes that there were many explorers in the past because they've heard about this idea of Fountain of Youth and they've searched many, many different places just to look for it.
Right. Do you remember any movie? There's some movies that even, that's the setting of the movie is explorers looking for the Fountain of Youth. Where is it usually?
It's usually hidden somewhere. It's really hard to get to. Well, that's why it's legendary, because it's something that's almost impossible to get or achieve.
I don't think anybody's found it yet.
That's right. But you know what's interesting, Linda, is I think it speaks to how people are always looking for ways to live longer, whether it's through the Fountain of Youth or maybe it's through health products or sometimes even makeup or something to make us live as long as possible.
And to look young.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And then we have this one of our vocabulary focus words here is they are beginning to unravel something.
I like the way the author phrases, unravel some of the mysteries. Usually when we unravel something, we're kind of opening something up where if, for example, a ball of a string or something like that, when you're unraveling it, you're slowly taking it apart basically. And here, to unravel a mystery basically means to slowly make known or to slowly understand it.
Right, to make sense of something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of things that we have to figure out about it. But we've been talking about the Fountain of Youth and about, like, products that would make us appear to be young. But here they're going to specifically be talking about it's in our genes. So
that's
what
right.
does that mean?
Genes is a very technical term. Basically, it's a pattern of chemicals that's in our cells that carry specific information about certain qualities or characteristics that are passed on, basically. For example, we have genes passed on from our parents. And another fancy word of saying this is like DNA, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And so, listeners, the color of your hair, what your face looks like, the color of your eyes, and even the type of health you would have, that's all affected by your genes. And it sounds like the scientists are looking for new ways to find out how long you can live can also be determined by your genes as well.
Right, and the DNA actually controls the structure of the cells, like for reproduction. Our children have parts of us, parts of some of the same characteristics that we have, as Howie was saying. So there's been a lot of studies on this. If we take a look at our second paragraph, led by Sebastiani and this Dr. Pearls of Boston University. This is a very famous journal, science journal, and it analyzed the DNA of over 1,000 centenarians. I didn't even know there were that many. Did you? I was shocked
at that
number.
Well, let's talk a little bit just about what a centenarian is. Linda, cent is a prefix that usually refers to 100. And so here we're talking about people who lived up to 100 years or more.
Right. So we have the word century, which means a period of time that is 100 years long. So this is talking about people that have lived that period of time, right? So what have they found out about these? They've been doing research about these centenarians, these 1,000 centenarians, and they found some things that they have in common. What are they?
Well, Linda, they found a set of small DNA variations, and variations means differences,
mm-hmm.
called genetic markers that can be used to predict exceptional longevity with 77% accuracy.
That's pretty amazing.
Yes. That's a pretty big sentence. Genetic markers is usually it's a distinct indicator of identity within a gene. So if you have this genetic marker, perhaps you will live longer. That's what this sentence is saying. And exceptional means very unusual or very great longevity.
Right. And usually it hasn't been very common in the past anyway, from what we know, that people have been able to live 100 years. So actually 1,000 to me is quite shocking that there are really that many. I think in the past, the average lifespan was quite short, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. In the past, there were a lot of other environmental factors, and we're going to talk a little bit about that later on in the article as well. There are many things that can influence how long you live, but I think scientists are just discovering how much that genetics play into this as well.
Right. And 77% accuracy, that's a pretty high measure of accuracy, I think, when somebody is doing experiments or looking for markers of some kind, don't you think?
Right. They're basically saying that at least 3 out of every 4 times they're making a good guess.
Right.
That's right.
But, you know, as in life, this story isn't simple either. Nothing seems to be simple. There's no single longevity gene. So that's why it said before that there are markers along this line. And for most of the golden agers. So let's talk about this term. This is one of our MARC terms. What does this mean, Winnie?
Golden agers. Now, this is a phrase. The golden ages are usually refers to somebody who is much older, they're your elders, perhaps. Maybe you would think your grandparents. And so that's what they're talking about. They go on to say, for most of the golden agers, long life appeared to result from the cumulative effect of many of the 150 markers. So what they're saying is there's not just one gene, but there's several different markers that can lead to this.
Right. And cumulative, it means it's not all at once, right, Howie?
Right. Cumulative means to gradually increase by addition. So when something is increasing slowly, little by little, it's called cumulative.
Right. So what other kind of cumulative effects have we found? You know, if you study English, eventually the cumulative effect of studying English every day, you broaden your knowledge of vocabulary, right? You don't learn all of your vocabulary at one time. So if you study a little bit every day, you keep adding to your knowledge of vocabulary, maybe of grammar.
Cumulative effects can also be negative. For example, if you're a smoker, the cumulative effects of smoking may cause cancer.
Right, right. And now we see the number of markers up above in our paragraph before. It talked about a small set of genetic markers. And now we say many of the 100, they even numbered them. They know that there are 150 different markers that show up in golden agers. We also talk about, you know, golden mean, we use that for an anniversary sometimes. A golden anniversary is how many anniversaries of being married? 50 years, okay. But this golden age, I think they're talking much older for a person.
Well, usually when we refer to golden, it's usually something that's much older. For example, there used to be a show called The Golden Girls, I think, right? And it was a situation comedy. And all the entire cast were, I think they were all at least in their 60s and 70s, basically.
Looking younger and younger to me, actually. Okay, let's take a look at this last paragraph. The study shows that there are different paths to become a centenarian. So what does this paragraph say to us? People age in different ways. When I think of the word age, we often use it as, you know, what is your age as a noun, right? But here, how's it being used?
Well, it's being used as a verb, and it means that you're getting older. People will grow old or get older in different ways.
Okay. So people age or grow older in different ways. What does that mean?
Well, I think this is a very good point that the scientists are talking about here, that there's not one answer. So listeners, I don't want you to listen to this program and think, oh, well, if I do this, this, and this, I will live up to 100 years. They're saying that's not how it works. Your genetics might have something to do with it, but there are still other factors, and people who have become centenarians have gone through it through different paths. So, sorry, there is no one answer.
Right. We're sorry we can't give you the correct formula to live to be 100. Some people say, you know, if you drink coffee every day and you don't smoke and you eat a lot of vegetables, other people say different things. So
right.
According to the studies that have been done, there are no formulas for this. But there are some markers that they have found in different people. So let's go on now and have our second reading in the second paragraph for the day, health insurance premiums at stake. Let's take a look first at this heading before we read it and see what it means. What is it talking about, health insurance premiums? What does that mean here?
In the United States, when I was paying health insurance, we had to pay a premium, which means that it's the amount of money that you pay initially in the beginning to get insurance.
Okay. And this is a question. So health insurance premiums at stake? So what does at stake mean here, Winnie?
Well, we're going to talk a lot more about this, but to be at stake simply means that something is in danger or something might be changed if something happens. And so in this case, you're saying the cost of health insurance will change maybe at a very great amount depending on the study for genetics.
Okay. And as Winnie said, we're going to be talking more about this, but let's do our reading first.
Health insurance premiums at stake? These markers may have some predictive power down the road for people who want to know if they're destined for long life, researchers said. But genes alone are far from the whole story. For the vast majority of people, environment and lifestyle are also known to play important roles in aging. Only upon reaching these extremely old ages, which most people never see, do genes take center stage. There are social reasons to avoid the game of prediction as well, including concerns about how it might affect health insurance premiums and whether people are equipped with guidelines to respond appropriately to the results, Pearl said. Researchers said the task now is to characterize the genes and biochemical pathways identified in the study. Down the line, such information could potentially be used to develop drugs for age-related diseases, such as heart disease, diabetes, and Alzheimer's disease, which occur at much lower rates in centenarians.
Okay, so in our first column, we were taking a look at genetic markers are involved in aging, and now we're going to take a look at some of the other factors that may be involved. So let's first of all start, we've already talked about the introductory sentence here, so let's take a look at this first paragraph. So what is it talking about in this first paragraph, Winnie?
Sure. We begin with line 3 that says, these markers may have some predictive power down the road for people who want to know if they're destined for long life. Now, that phrase, down the road, it's an idiom, and it simply means later on or in the future. And here we're talking about a person's life and whether they actually will live to a long age down the road or in their future.
Right. So it's talking about they can predict or tell us maybe if in the future somebody will live a long time or if they're destined, okay, if it's in their destiny to have a long life. I don't know if I really would want to know that or not. But it also says that these are far from the whole story. If something is far from something, it means that there's a lot more involved in it, right, Howie?
Right. When this sentence basically means genes aren't the only factor. There's more information that you need other than knowing if you have this genetic marker if you want to live a long life.
Okay. And so why don't we take a look at the rest of it and see what else it has to say?
Well, for the vast majority of people, environment and lifestyle are also known to play important roles in aging. So besides your genes, where you live, your environment, and how you live, these are very important in determining how you will age.
So what kind of environmental factors do you think would help us age and live to a longer age?
Well, there have been many, many studies done on this, and I think I remember reading one study where they compare somebody who lived in a city where it's very crowded and polluted, there's all kinds of pollution. That person might live or die earlier than somebody who maybe lived out in rural areas where they have much cleaner air, better food. So those are environmental factors that we're talking about.
I think water probably is also going to play a big part in this too, because with the way the earth is now, there's less and less fresh water available and more polluted water. So this might be another environmental factor. What about lifestyle? What kind of lifestyle do you think lends itself to living to an older age?
Well, it's your daily habits, your job. If you have a very stressful job, maybe that will reduce the chances of you living longer, if you exercise, if you eat well, if you sleep well, these are all parts of your lifestyle.
Okay, so it says that all these three things combined, okay, for the vast majority, the most people, environment, lifestyle play important parts, as well as these genetic markers. So only upon reaching these really old ages, you know, and most people don't get there, right, do genes take center stage. So this is a very interesting phrase that we have.
That's right. To take center stage is another idiom, which means to be the focus of the interest. Friends, you can imagine if you are an actor or an actress and you are on stage, if you're in the center, that means you're also in the center of attention and everybody is looking at you. And here they're referring to the idea that genes become more important, the longevity gene in particular, only when you reach an old age. And that's after having gone through many years of environmental and lifestyle influences.
Right. So it's these 1,000 people, centenarians that they found now, that they're looking at their gene factors, and that's what they're really studying now. And what is it talking about here in the next paragraph? It says there are social reasons to avoid this game of prediction.
Well, we were talking about this long sentence, actually, during the break. It says here, there are social reasons to avoid the game of prediction as well. We'll take this slowly. So it's not really a game, obviously, but then sometimes we may use the phrase the game of something. It usually means that like the game of life, mm-hmm. the game of politics, the game of business. Usually if something requires a lot of skill or strategy or you have to follow certain rules, then we can use the phrase like the game of something. So this kind of prediction takes a lot of skill and there are a lot of factors involved, and they're going to try to avoid it perhaps for social reasons.
Okay, and then we have the rest. Actually, this whole paragraph is one sentence. So this is the first part of it. So Winnie, what about the rest of it here?
Right. They go on to say there are many concerns about how it will affect health insurance premiums. We talked about that before, and premiums are simply how much you would pay for health insurance. And all of this would be affected if scientists knew how long you would live.
Okay. And then whether people are able to, are equipped with guidelines means, do we give people a book? Do we give them step by step what they should do about this so that they can respond appropriately to the results? So depending upon what they find out about their gene markers or their longevity markers, are they really able to take the right actions in accordance with the results?
So Howie, maybe you can just rephrase this for us just a little bit. So let's say if I or Linda, we have these markers mm-hmm. that says we can live to a very long age. How would that affect how much we would have to pay for insurance?
It would probably be a lot lower because you would live a lot longer. You would have no diseases and of course, if you get sick very often, then the health insurance companies, they would have to pay a lot more money. So if they see, hey, you have these markers, you can probably going to be paying a lot less. But that's bad for people who don't have these markers. So their premiums may go up.
Okay, well done. And so this is really in basically what this one whole paragraph is saying, this one sentence paragraph. So now they're saying, the researchers are saying that they have to characterize these genes and biochemical pathways. This word biochemical is made up of biology and chemistry, and it's connected with the chemistry of living things. So that's the biology part of it, the living things and the chemistry of it, how it's made up, right? So these pathways that are identified in the study. So now we're back to down the line. What does down the line mean here again?
Again, that means in the future, or it's very similar to that idiom we just talked about before, down the road.
Right.
They're both the same idea. And they're saying here that the information that they found, they could potentially be used to develop drugs for age-related diseases. Now, I think what this is telling me is that researchers are really at the very beginning and they have their work cut out for them. They've identified a few genetic markers, but they're still not sure how it all works together.
Right. And so they're looking at some drugs are medication that could actually be developed for diseases that usually develop in older people. So we've taken a look at some of these, heart disease, okay? So maybe older people generally have a degeneration or a breaking down maybe of the use of their heart, or diabetes, and Alzheimer's disease. This is one of the mental diseases, so it says that it results in a gradual loss of memory and speech and even movement and the ability to think clearly. This is a form of dementia, but actually it seems to happen to the entire body more than just to the mind. Some people I know that have had Alzheimer's couldn't even walk later on in the later stages of Alzheimer's. And this is an especially common disease among older people. So they're looking at how they can develop drugs to cope with these age-related diseases. And it says a very surprising sentence or phrase at the very end here. What is it? They occur at much lower rates in centenarians. Did you guys know that?
I did not know that.
Well, I guess that's something that I would assume. If you can live to be over 100 years old, then you probably somehow avoided heart disease, diabetes, and any other age-related diseases.
I would think so, but I also would think that maybe around this age that things would start breaking down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But we have another day tomorrow. We're going to look at future medical inventions on this topic, so we hope you join us. So this is Linda signing off along with
Winnie
and Howie.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.